Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
And when I wrote him the check after we sold it for almost $300,000, you know what I put in the memo, right? The check, big capital letters, go big or go home.
Welcome, my friend, to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever show. I'm Joe Fairless, and before we get into the show in today's episode, which I know you'll get a lot of value from because we stay out of all the fluffy stuff and we get straight into the good stuff of real estate investing advice, I want to give a quick shout out to today's sponsor, and that's Patch of Land. They are making this show possible, and they're making tons of flipping projects possible all across the country. If you don't know about Patch of Land, then they are the number one company to go to for projects that you're flipping because they have all the money available right now. Once you get approved for your deal and yourself as a sponsor or a borrower, you're going to be funded by them. And then they go raise the money through their crowdfunding platform. So you don't have to worry about all that. They'll take care of the money and the funding for you. You just have to worry about making sure your project's a success. They've got something really cool for you. So if you are just learning about crowdfunding, they've come up with a guide. It's called the Top 10 Crowdfunding Questions Guide. And they're all the questions that you might be asking yourself. And they're all the answers. They don't leave you hanging. They got answers too. All the answers to those 10 crowdfunding questions. So you can go to patchofland.com/best ever and get that guide. And if you think you know everything about crowdfunding, I'd check this guide out just in case, because there are some interesting aspects that you'll learn. So go to patchofland.com/best ever and get that guide. Hi, Best Ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever show. I'm Joe Fairless, and this is a show all about getting the best real estate investing advice ever from our guests, our very experienced Best Ever guests. We've had Barbara Corcoran on the show from Shark Tank, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Poor Dad, Jay Papasan, from Keller Williams. And today, we've got David Hunstein. How you doing, Dave?
I'm great, Joe. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. Glad to be on the show. And I know Dave through a mutual friend, and we've known each other for, I think, like a year or so. Dave is also raising money and buying multifamily properties with investors and sharing in the profits, otherwise known as deal syndication. He's based in Long Island, New York. He's managed over $5 million in assets, and he's focused, as I mentioned, on multifamily. He has over 15 years of experience in real estate. His first deal was 112 unit. He has successfully exited that. He'll talk about his first syndicated deal. And then he recently closed on an 82 unit, his next deal. So we'll talk a little bit about that. One additional fact about Dave, non-real estate related, is he is a retired police officer. So first and foremost, thank you for your service, Dave.
No problem, Joe. Thank you.
So, Dave, you want to give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Sure. Like you said, I'm a retired police officer. In addition to that, I've been an entrepreneur all my life. My wife and I have been in the restaurant business for 15 years as well. We currently still are. We own a restaurant on the eastern end of Long Island, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which takes a lot of my wife's time up, which is a pretty demanding business. But like you said, I'm a retired police officer. And now I'm a full-time real estate investor. I do mainly concentrate on apartment buildings in Ohio at the moment. And I also do single-family rentals on Long Island. I have about 7 single families on Long Island and currently 82 units in Ohio. About 6 months ago, I sold 112 units in Trotwood, Ohio, which was our first large apartment deal. And we made out really well. It was an excellent, excellent deal that we, you know, made out really well. So I'm looking to continue to grow my portfolio.
So you did 112 units. What were the numbers behind it?
We purchased that complex in February 2013. We purchased it for $2,350,000. We further stabilized the, it was in fairly good condition when we bought it, but we further stabilized it, and one of the large things that we did, we submeted the water and sewer. When we purchased it, the landlord was paying water and sewer, which was about a $60,000 expense, and we brought a third-party company in that actually put individual meters in each apartment. So we turned that expense over to the tenants, and that was a huge, huge increase in NOI for us. And my partners in the deal decided that they wanted to put it on the market to kind of test the waters, and we wound up selling it in 19 months for just under $3 million, $2.975 million in 19 months.
$2.975, and how long was it on the market?
3 months. We were actually looking to cash out refi it, and we were approved for an FHA, very attractive FHA loan. And believe it or not, the underwriter for the bank was telling us what he thought it would appraise at, and my partners and I decided we wanted to throw it on the market for 3 months and see what happened, type of thing. And if it sells, it sells. If it doesn't, we'll refi it 3 months. We didn't think that rates were going to go anywhere at the time. And we wound up a week before we were going to pull it off the market, we got an all-cash offer from a gentleman out of California, and we closed in 30 days.
And what type of returns did that give you? You mentioned you purchased it for 2.35. I guess the only other large number would be how much money did you put into it? So how much cash total out of pocket were you?
Between me and three of my partners, we put, of our own money, we put $450,000, and we have a small second mortgage on it for another $150,000. So all total, we put in $600,000, but only $450,000 of our own capital.
How'd you get that second mortgage?
It was actually through a family member that was looking to, he did not want to be an equity partner, asked if he could lend us some money, you know, on a straight interest loan. And, you know, I believe we did a 5% loan or something close to that. And he was happy and we were happy. And we got that second mortgage and it worked for everybody, you know.
When you mentioned you stabilized it and submetered the water and sewer by putting individual meters for each apartment, how does that work? How do you go about that? What's the process?
The company comes in, and not every apartment complex can be submetered just by the way that the plumbing comes into each apartment. Luckily for us, this complex was eligible for it. they come in, they put a small meter where the water comes into each apartment. They put a small meter that's actually Wi-Fi. They set up a complete network throughout the complex. This was 23 buildings. It was more like a residential feel to it. It wasn't, you know, one or two giant buildings. It was 23 four and six plexes, basically. And they set up an entire network with Wi-Fi repeaters, and there was a server in our office. And each apartment, whatever their actual usage was, it, you know, wirelessly, you know, read it and sent it back to the server. And the third party company that installed the meters did all the billing for us and sent out the bills directly to the tenant, so we didn't even have to do that.
How much did it cost you out of pocket?
It cost us roughly $24,000 to have the entire place sub-metered. This just was a no-brainer for us because we were paying $60,000 a year out of our income. So for less than half of what our yearly expense was for water sewer, we were able to install the meters and pass that on to the tenant. Now, you know, everyone was under a year lease, so it's not like you can just automatically knock on somebody's door and say, oh, by the way, you're paying water and sewer now. So you had to, you know, initiate that charge either on a, you know, a lease renewal or on a new tenant type of thing. So, you know, it took about a year to get everybody on it. But once you have everybody on it, it's really, really a great investment. And honestly, I think that's what's sold the particular gentleman that bought it. I think that's what sold him on it. He was very excited that all of that cost was on the tenant.
Did you have any, was it $24,000 cash out of pocket just right out of the gate, or was there some sort of financing that you did with them?
No, I actually negotiated financing with this particular company. We did a third down, and we worked out a financing deal where at 7% for 2 years, they let us pay off the balance, and we wound up paying it off at closing, obviously, because we didn't own it for 2 years after that, but the company did finance it for us, third down, and the rest at 7% over 2 years, which the payment for that was still less than the $60,000, you know, we were paying the approximately $5,000 a month. We were paying, the payment was roughly $1,800 or something like that. I forget what it was. But so even during the first 2 years, we were much, much better ahead, even with the payment.
And how do you determine, I know you said there are certain apartment communities that can't be submetered, but how do you determine if the rental market will withstand you increase? It's basically a rent increase for the residents because they're paying more out of pocket. How do you determine that? And what research did you do beforehand?
Well, out here in Dayton and Cincinnati, where I'm primarily investing in, it's becoming more of the norm than not. Some landlords are doing a straight surcharge where they, you know, are just charging a set fee for either per apartment or however many tenants you have in the apartment. Let's say they charge you $20 an apartment and then an additional, you know, $5, $7, $8 per additional tenant over one. That's a way to do it. But what I'm trying to say is you're seeing it more and more out here. So tenants are more, they're used to seeing it. And it's just, you know, with the price of water, I mean, the first year we owned that complex, water went up 9%. It's just become so expensive that the landlord can't, you know, eat that cost every year anymore. And more people are doing it, which makes it easier for the tenant to accept, should I say.
I know it was a little while since you had the properties, about a year or so ago, I believe. But do you remember what the, like, what the average rents were, roughly?
The one bedrooms were roughly $450. We had some two-bedroom gardens, which were $529, and two-bedroom townhomes, which were $579.
Let's use the one-bedroom example. If their rent's about $450, on average, how much is that water bill going to cost them every month?
Really dependent on the tenant. Some people were, you know, $15 plus the, you know, it all depends on personal usage, obviously, but and how many tenants were in the apartment, actually. But we had some tenants. Most tenants were very happy because they were only being charged what they personally used. Versus where a surcharge, you know, somebody that uses a lot less water than their neighbor, sometimes they get a little upset. You know, I use so much less water. He washes his car every day or whatever the case may be. This way, they're only getting charged for exactly what they're using, which, you know, a lot of people like.
What were the ranges? What would you say is the low and the high range that you saw that people were being charged?
Honestly, Joe, I really can't answer that because we didn't handle the bills.
Ah, got it.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
They were directly billed from the third-party company. The only time we'd see a bill is if they didn't pay the bill, then it would become our responsibility to go after them.
What would you say, how many people out of the 112, or I guess what percentage, because I know all 112 weren't initially on it, and what was the process? What do you do?
Basically the same process we would do for rent. You know, after when the bill would get turned over to us, we would, you know, my office manager would knock on the door, contact, you know, call them whatever way they needed to contact the tenant. And it's basically the same method we had as when they didn't pay their rent. 3 days after that, they'd get a notice. And, you know, unfortunately, they would start the eviction process. But most of the times, you know, if not all the times, they'd pay the water bill. It's not that big of a bill. They just needed a little help, you know, a little push to pay it sometimes.
They don't get their water cut off, do they?
No, we didn't do that. Unfortunately, the shutoffs for these buildings were inside their apartments. So without putting an actual lock on it, we didn't really want to get into that. You know what I mean? And again, we didn't have that problem because once we gave them a little push, they paid the bill. It wasn't that much money.
What was the communication like with them leading up to submetering it from when they weren't being charged water?
In that complex, we actually started a surcharge first. I don't know if I mentioned that. We started a surcharge first, and the way that we approached having the meters installed, we sent out a questionnaire to all the tenants saying, basically, you know, you're being charged a surcharge right now, so you're not necessarily paying for, you know, what the exact amount you use. And then we asked them, would you like to pay only for exactly what you use? We kind of made it in a, you know, a couple questions. You know what I mean? A couple questions, yes or no. And, you know, I'd say 90%+ answered yes. They only want to pay for exactly what they use. So then we signed the contract with the meter company, and we sent out another letter to all the tenants, kind of like a, you know, you spoke and we listen type of letter, and let them know that, you know, over the next couple of weeks, our maintenance tech, along with a plumber, is going to be coming in and installing meters, and now you'll only pay for, you know, explaining the whole process. You'll only pay for exactly what you use, and you'll be getting a separate bill directly from the company. And that's how we did it.
Interesting.
We kind of made them feel a part of it, which they were. You know what I mean?
Yep, and absolutely.
And like I said, you know, the guy with the 120-gallon fish tank, he's one of the only guys that wasn't too happy about the submetering. But for the most part, everybody else liked it.
Oh, man, that's a lot of gallons of water right there.
Yeah, he moved in 2 months.
Yes, I imagine he would. Well, Dave, we've talked about a lot, and I want to quickly ask you, because I know we're running short on time, what is your best real estate investing advice ever?
My best real estate advice is don't do this by yourself. Have a team. When I first started, I was very close-minded, and I wanted to do everything myself. I guess you could say I was a bit of a control freak. I didn't want partners. I didn't want, not that I thought I knew everything, but I just wanted to do it on my own. And I learned very quickly in this business, if you want to grow and diversify risk, you need the help of others. I have a great, great team of, whether it be, you know, your attorney, your broker, your mortgage guy, whatever it is. Reach out to these people and let them help you. It really, really, you know, I was very against partners when I first started. And now I have some of the best partners I could dream of. And they have different skills that maybe I'm not as good at, and vice versa. And you really, really, it's really beneficial.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree with you more on that. And it's more fun, too. It's more fun because you're doing it together.
Absolutely. And it's always good to have, you know, 2, 3, 4 sets of eyes looking at a deal. And, you know, maybe you missed something or you didn't think of something, and, you know, somebody else brings it up. Wow, I didn't even think of that, you know? And it's tremendous help, you know?
Are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
All right. First, a quick word from our best ever partners. crowdfunding. You've heard about it. Now it's time for you to learn about it. Our best ever sponsor today, Patch of Land, they're the leading expert in the crowdfunding space, and they've got all the answers to all of your crowdfunding questions. Go to patchofland.com/best ever and get your copy of the top 10 answers to the top 10 crowdfunding questions. That's patchofland.com/best ever. One of our past best ever guests, Josh Cantwell, you can check out his episode in episode JF156. It's titled Discover the Hidden Rules of Raising Private Money. Well, he has been nice enough to offer the best ever listeners a free guide that is the 55 simple ways to find real estate deals. So if you're struggling to find great real estate deals to flip, to rehab, to buy and hold, or to wholesale, you can end all of your frustration and you can get these 55 proven strategies for finding these smoking hot deals in your market. And this is all free. I've gone to this website and downloaded it myself and read through it. And I've learned many things from this on just kind of helpful tips to get more deals. So you can go to 55simpleways.com/Joe. That's 55simpleways.com/Joe and get this guide called the 55 Proven Strategies for Finding Deals. And again, it's free. It's really no brainer. Go grab it and you're going to learn something. I promise you that. 55simpleways.com/Joe. Dave, what's the best ever book you've read?
I would have to say Rich Dad Poor Dad, Joe. That really changed my way of thinking tremendously. I was a big saver, and my father was an entrepreneur all his life. He was very successful, but he was a saver, and that's the way I was brought up. And just learning how to leverage really changed my way of thinking. I hated debt, but learning the difference between good debt and bad debt really changed my entire investing career.
And best ever listeners, you can go listen to Robert Kiyosaki's conversation with you all. If you haven't heard it already, he's been a guest on the show. Just Google Robert Kiyosaki, Joe Fairless. Best ever personal growth experience and what you learned from it.
Personal growth, I'd have to say basically what I just had said about opening myself up to other people's help. Just, bringing on partners. There's a lot of deals that I've done since, in my career that some of them I definitely would not have done without partners. Just whether it be, I don't want to say they talk me into it per se, but just it's much more, you're much more comfortable when, like I said, you have 2, 3, 4 sets of eyes, looking at deals, underwriting them just helps a lot. And I've grown a lot to be able to do that. And now I absolutely love, doing deals with other, couldn't do it any other way.
Best ever deal you've done.
That would be the Broadmoor Apartments at 112 unit deal. We more than doubled each investor's money. And I had one partner in that deal that was kind of, he didn't want to do that deal. He thought it was too big. And we gave him the option to not do it. He's the type of guy, no, I'll do it. But he just remember, I said this, if this thing goes bad, that type of guy, So I had sent out an email to my partners. We were looking at two deals at the time, and one was a 48 unit, and this one was 112. And I sent out an email going back and forth which deal we were going to do. And I sent out an email. All I wrote was go big or go home. And I liked this deal a lot better. It was a much, much better deal in my opinion. So that's all I wrote. And my other partners wrote, I'm in. And, this guy was complaining, but he wound up doing the deal with us. But he had put, I believe, $135,000 of his own money in the deal. And when I wrote him the check after we sold it for almost $300,000, what I put in the memo, right? The check, big capital letters, go big or go home.
Oh, I love it. Wasn't that a nice feeling? I bet it's such a nice feeling, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. I took a photo of it and I actually put it in a frame and I have it hanging in my office.
What's the best ever project you're most excited about right now?
I have to say that the 82 unit we just closed on. See, a little undermanaged property. It was an elderly couple that owned it. They've owned it for 22 years, and they were looking to retire. I think they were just tired. Real nice people, but there's a lot of upside to this deal. and I'm really excited about getting it further stabilized and, you know, maximizing its potential. There's a lot of room for potential in this place.
What's the best ever way you'd like to give back?
I like helping other, you know, new investors with anything to do with real estate. I love talking about real estate, and I even if it's something as simple as helping somebody buy their first home, I just enjoy just helping somebody, whether it be jumping into one of my deals or they're looking to do a deal on their own, you know, buy their first single family rental. It just, I love to help try to get them started.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in real estate?
About, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, I did my first flip, single family on the eastern end of Long Island. And it's before I had any, I invested in a lot of education over the years, all over the country. And this was pre that. And I bought a house it was listed for $500,000. I bought it for $400,000. I thought I was doing great. And I put way too much money into it. I put over $100,000 into the house. I changed way too much. And this was just bad timing. The market started dipping. At the same time, I was pumping money into this house. And we lost about $50,000 on it when we finally sold it. And then, you know, I realized I need to invest in some education and learn how to do this the correct way instead of just fly by, you know, willy-nilly. You know?
I hear you. Yep.
Knock on wood. That's the only time that I've lost money and you know, 10, 12 plus deals later. It's tremendous just learning how to do it right. And again, you know, having the right team.
And what's the best ever place to reach you, Dave?
I can be reached. My website for my syndication business is DaytonEquityPartners.com, DAYTON, EquityPartners.com. My email is dave@DaytonEquity.com, and my direct line is 631-466-8776.
All right, Dave. Well, thank you for being on the show and sharing your advice with the best ever listeners and talking about deal syndication. And in particular, going through a case study in detail with the 112 unit where you purchased it for $2.35 million and you ended up selling it 19 months later for $2.975 million and primarily attributing that increase in value to the stabilizing and submetering the water and sewer and how you are essentially saving that $60,000, roughly $60,000. I'm sure some of that water is common, but the water that isn't common water that you saved on the expense by bringing in a third-party company and individually metering each of the units. And then talking through how you communicated to the residents. First, you did a surcharge, and then you did sub-metering, and you did that questionnaire where you asked them, you know, you're not paying the exact amount you use, would you like to? And then sending them the second note, you spoke, we listened, and talking through kind of how you were adding the value for that property. And then, you know, the project they've got going on now and the lesson learned with the flip and how to kind of look at the market and don't over-improve a property more than it needs to, kind of go in, make it happen, and clearly used the learnings from that consciously or subconsciously with the 112 unit, because you could have kept pumping more money into that 112 unit, tried to increase the value or sat on it, but instead you got out, got the investors a return, a very, very favorable return on their money, and then moved on to the next project, which you're working on now. So thanks so much for being on the show. It was nice meeting you at Starbucks earlier today, and I'm looking forward to talking to you soon and seeing you and hanging out later.
Joe, thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.